Back pain and stiffness made mornings rough.
Pain made it tough to sleep until I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is the number one prescribed treatment for adults that targets IL-17A, a molecule that may play a role in inflammation that contributes to ankylosing spondyloarthritis or non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, two types of inflammatory arthritis of the spine. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I got real relief with Cosentyx.
Moncrief on News Talk.
The row over speaking rights time in the Dáil recently prompted all sorts of less than parliamentary behaviour. But how untypical or typical is that? In the Irish Times, the historian Diarmaid Farrator has been writing about a history of Dáil insults. Diarmaid, good afternoon.
Nice to see you.
Are there things you're specifically prohibited from saying in the Dáil?
Yes, there were a list of words and insults which were not supposed to be uttered across the floor of the Dáil. But of course, it changed over time. There was a time when the F word was not on the list because it wouldn't have been deemed to be a word that would be used in the Dáil. It wasn't on their radar. But there were insults like corner boy and gutter snipe and yahoo and buffoon. These are all great words to describe people, but they belong very much to the 19th century. And it struck me when I was looking back, going right back to the foundation of the Dáil. The speakers then, of course, were born in the late 19th century. So if they wanted to insult somebody, they drew on that kind of language. Now, that rule book had to be updated. It was like closely kept secret, this book. There wouldn't have been many people who had access to it. Obviously, the Crown Coirle was given this in great secrecy on the handing over to a new Crown Coirle. But obviously, you will find these insults throughout the record of the Dáil. What's noticeable, I suppose, as we move up to more recent times, is that the language becomes much coarser. There tends to be a reliance on the lazy F word or the slurs like that. What struck me as well is that it takes a lot more effort to be creative in how you insult somebody. And there were those who were able to deliver the greatest insults by not using any bad language at all. They can damn people with faint praise.
Yes.
Which can be as cutting. And I suppose what also struck me is that there are insults that are clearly premeditated in the sense that they are carefully worked into a pre-prepared script. But then there are those that arise from spontaneously from particularly heated exchanges. And they may be generated as a result of a debate on something fairly innocuous or a debate you wouldn't consider, the theme of which you wouldn't consider would provoke that much ire. So it's really a mixed record when you look back.
Yeah. I know that damning with faint praise, like Sean Lamass calling the Labour Party a nice, respectable, docile, harmless body of men. That is exactly...
That was a devastating put down.
Yeah.
And like there are always layers beneath these insults. Sean Lamass tormented the Labour Party for decades. It was it was one of his favourite political hobbies was debate the Labour Party. And the reason was he didn't believe there was any reason for the Labour Party to exist, because the way he put it was, we're in Fianna Fáil, we're the real Labour Party.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Go home. You know, you're useless and you're not really registering. So there was that kind of language. And of course, Lamass was not particularly verbose. And was not a particular wordsmith, except when his chosen targets came into view. He could be quite gruff, of course. And he wasn't somebody who left behind a substantial amount of papers and evolution of his political thinking or reflections on his political philosophy. So he was quite targeted like that. But that was a really devastating put down. And of course, the Labour Party has always prided itself on being the oldest political party in the state. It predates the state and it predates Fianna Fáil as well. So it gave Lamass particular pleasure to torment them in the 1960s. And they couldn't make up their mind about whether they should go it alone or be in coalition with Fine Gael.
Yeah, but the intent of and that's from the 60s. The intent of a statement like that was its primary intention to have an effect within the Dáil chamber, whereas perhaps now in the age of the soundbite, people aren't looking within the walls of the Dáil chamber at all.
Yeah, but
when
we
they
should
say
bear
things.
In mind that people read a lot And the Dáil exchanges were reported, and there were more newspapers around. You know, there were three Dublin newspapers in the 1950s, you know, in this city alone. So people did read about that. And there were TDs who tried to time their theatrics to coincide with the journalistic deadline. If you wanted to get thrown out of the Dáil, for example, Jerry Lestrange appears quite regularly in the 1960s, a Longford TD. And he was a noted orator, but he was also very good at getting himself expelled because he was always pointing an accusing finger, and he had a particular line in invective. And on one occasion, he actually clung on to the leg of the seat as the ushers were trying to remove him. So there were, you know, there were characters like that. And Stevie Coughlin, who's mentioned there as well. Stephen Coughlin was a very colourful Limerick politician who also served as Lord Mayor or as Mayor of Limerick. And he was accused of being drunk in the Dáil by Fianna Fáil Minister Kevin Boland in 1964. And of course, he protested his innocence and said, "I always conduct myself." But again, he specialised himself in invective, and that can produce a response in your political opponents as well. And there are politicians who know what buttons to press. The question is, I suppose, when does it become too personal? Look at Charlie Haughey, for example. There was an attempt by Charlie Haughey's opponents to make his character the key issue in Irish politics, particularly from the 70s onwards, the arms crisis of 1970, when sensationally Fianna Fáil ministers were sacked from cabinet and they were accused of being involved in a plot to import arms, and Haughey was at the centre of it. And even though he wasn't convicted of any offence, you can see the fervid atmosphere in the Dáil in 1970, in the summer of 1970, when they're debating this. And it's Haughey. Haughey's now about arms. And how he's a character who can't be trusted. And then if you bounce forward to 1979, when he's being nominated as Taoiseach, he's made his comeback. And Garrett Fitzgerald says he comes to this nomination with a flawed pedigree. And that disgusted many people because it was deemed to be too personal and below the belt. And of course, we know what happened afterwards in relation to Haughey and what was revealed. But, you know, at that point in 1979. But then Dick Spring tormented him too, 10 years later, in the late 80s and early 90s. And again, these were very carefully polished scripts. And he referred to the cancer in Irish politics and the virus that was causing that cancer, being Charles Haughey. That was in the Dáil in 1990. Again, very, very personalised. But it was very effective for Spring and the Labour Party to make everything revolve around the character of Haughey. And of course, there was the Spring tie then in 1992, and the Labour Party made that big breakthrough. And he, Spring, as leader of the Labour Party, had carefully built up that profile through these Dáil contributions, castigating Charles Haughey.
Yeah. You mentioned the word oratory. Is that largely lost now?
Oh, yes. God, have you not watched any of the Dáil proceedings recently? There was an era of noted Dáil orators. People like James Dillon, for example, who led Fine Gael in the 1960s. Or John Kelly. And John Kelly was a very cerebral Fine Gael politician. He did a doctorate in Roman law. He was a professor of jurisprudence in UCD, the philosophy of law. And it's interesting that some of the orators have that legal background. They're well-practised and crafted when it comes to making their case, and the withering put-downs. And my favourite Dáil insult in the whole history of the Dáil comes from John Kelly. He was always tormenting Brian Lenehan. Brian Lenehan Sr., who was a Fianna Fáil minister in the 1980s, he was Minister for Foreign Affairs, great champion of Haughey, often played the buffoon, Lenehan, even though he was no such thing. And Kelly always had him in his sights. And he referred to him as being the 13th stroke of the clock of Irish politics. And again, it was just a very clever put down. And he enjoyed having Lenehan in the Dáil because Lenehan was blustering a lot of the time. And Kelly was able to take him down. And so you can see that kind of polished approach and the wordsmiths at work. Kelly's papers are in UCD, so you can see how much he spent writing and crafting responses. And he actually preferred being in opposition because it gave him more target practice. He wasn't particularly comfortable as a clientelist politician or even briefly as a government minister. And James Dillon was of that era, the blue shirt era. So he drew on that well, you know, the divisions of the 1920s and the 1930s. And it's notable, of course, that a lot of the insults over the decades, they have their roots in the Civil War divide. The heat goes out of it to a certain extent. But even the post-Civil War generation, they often inherit those prejudices and those dislikes. Oh, yeah. And yeah. they carry the flag. They continue to carry the flag from a particular side.
What was the last great speech in the Dáil? Was it Des O'Malley, I stand by the Republic?
Well, Des O'Malley stood by the Republic, but then sat down for the Republic and abstained from the vote. This was in relation, in 1985, in relation to the liberalisation of the law on contraception. So he didn't actually vote against it, but he was making a statement, obviously. There are very notable speeches like that. Of course, the most important debate that was ever held in the Dáil, the treaty debates. Nearly 100 TDs contributed to the treaty debates. They were held over December 1921 and January 1922. And it really was a state of the nation debate. Mm. The stakes were so high. Emotion was swirling around the chamber and it got very personalised. But it really was about the future. What were we going to do in relation to our connection with Britain and the Empire? And compromise, of course. And what compromise does to people, it brings out the purism in some. Mary McSweeney, for example, spoke longer than anyone during the Dáil debate. She spoke for 2 hours and 40 minutes. And she referred to the Republic as a living faith, as a spiritual reality that we hold dear. It was no earthly thing. And how do you debate with someone like that? Others were saying, well, now is for the living. We've got to look forward. And Michael Collins, of course, is trying to defend the agreement that he has signed. And Erskine Childers, who was a secretary at the treaty negotiations, was referred to as a damned Englishman by Arthur Griffith, the founder of Sinn Féin, who had also signed the treaty. Thought, you know, I will not be spoken to in this Dáil by a damned Englishman, which was, again, really below the belt. And Erskine Childers, of course, was a convert. You know, he had been born in London. He was from an Anglo-Irish family. He was a senior British civil servant at one point. But he was executed by the end of that year in 1922. So, I mean, these Dáil debates and what they were debating had massive consequences, not just nationally, but for the individuals involved as well.
Yeah. How often does it work, that pointed insult, and whoever it's aimed at loses their head?
Well, you see, people, again, knowing what buttons to press. If somebody is feeling vulnerable already, like take Paul Gogarty, for example, is the most notorious recent example of someone losing their rag.
And that was below the belt.
Saying F U, Emmett Stagg, F U. And people wonder, you know, are those interjections premeditated? No, people can feel vulnerable in the sense that there was a Green Party member. Do you remember they had famously been told they were now playing senior hurling?
Yes.
Seamus Brennan of Fianna Fáil said that to the Green Party because they're going into power with the big beasts in Fianna Fáil. And they were feeling vulnerable because of the economic crash and the cuts to social welfare. And of course, they had to go out and defend government policy. So, you know, when you consider that kind of a defensiveness, it is born of a recognition that you're actually in a very vulnerable position politically and you're losing ground with your own supporters as well. But then there are things that just crop up out of the blue. There was actually a physical altercation as a result of a debate in 1947. Between a Fine Gael and a Fianna Fáil TD. And again, many of these people are not household names. These are ordinary backbenchers riling each other on opposite side of the Civil War divide. And one of them says to the other, let's take this outside. And they did take it outside. And they had barely got out the door of the Dáil chamber when they started at each other. And this was a great scandal in 1947 because the Committee on Dáil Procedures had never had to issue a ruling on this. Mm. And not surprisingly, of course, that Dáil Committee decided that this was unparliamentary behaviour and that it was reprehensible for a physical altercation to happen in the grounds of Leinster House or just outside the Dáil. And of course, they had to issue very abject apologies. And, you know, there were further fisticuffs when Mark Killilea, who was a very proud Republican and IRA veteran, was accused of shooting off his toe on the eve of a pension by one of his political opponents. And, you know, he went across the floor and went for him and went to grab him and again had to issue a very abject apology. And again, I don't think they were premeditated. People were riling each other and sometimes they insulted each other during debates about fairly innocuous matters like agricultural rates. Mm. You wouldn't know the difference between a beet and a turnip. Are people saying, well, you don't know how to milk a cow. You know, if you're talking to somebody who's from an agricultural constituency and these are the kind of matters that get their constituents going, you know, they will go after that. But the great thing about tracing the Dáil debates over the decades, you get a very strong sense of the state of the nation and what was at stake. What were people being motivated to speak about as politicians on behalf of their constituents. And when Fianna Fáil entered the Dáil in 1927 and then achieved power very soon afterwards in 1932, you know, the opposition are reeling. So what do? Well, they have to go after these untrustworthy characters who'd come into the Dáil, apparently with, you know, revolvers bulging in their pockets. They were very heated times.
As someone texts it in, Pat Rabbit, a fair man for a put down to Senator Ray McSharry. I notice sometimes, Senator, that talent skips a generation. Dermot Farrington is Professor of Modern Irish History in UCD. Dermot, thanks a million.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Back pain and stiffness made mornings rough.
Pain made it tough to sleep until I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is the number one prescribed treatment for adults that targets IL-17A, a molecule that may play a role in inflammation that contributes to ankylosing spondyloarthritis or non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, two types of inflammatory arthritis of the spine. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I got real relief with Cosentyx.